Amen. Amen. I appreciate the songs tonight. What a great blessing they are to us this evening. And we made mention this morning that, and I think it was even Wednesday night we made mention, if only God's people could see what great things we have that God has done for us, we would be louder than the Super Bowl. We got more to shout about, to praise the Lord for, than anybody else that there is in this world. In the book of Ephesians, in the second chapter, is where I'll be reading from tonight, and while you pray for us for a few minutes of time, I promise to have you out by halftime. Yeah. If it be the Lord's will. Amen. And so I figure if it started at 6:30, halftime probably about 9:30. So we should be out by then, Brother Ron. I'm just joking with you. Book of Ephesians, the second chapter. Go with me if you would. Start reading tonight at verse 8 and down through and including verse 13. Ephesians, second chapter, starting at verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember, I've got that word highlighted in my Bible. Remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Stop reading there tonight in that 13th verse, and we appreciate you standing for the word of God. I said I have that word, remember, highlighted in that 11th verse in my Bible, because it's important that we remember where God brought us from. It's important that we don't forget that it was not us that did this, but it was God that did it for us. In the book of Deuteronomy, in the 6th chapter, also over in the 8th chapter as well, the 12th verse says it like this, that then be aware, in other words, be on guard, lest thou forget the Lord. Lest you forget that it was God that brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. It's easy for us sometimes to forget what God has done for us, where he brought us from, and that it is the gift of God that none of us deserved. All the things that God has done for us. And I want to preach tonight that he is not done yet. He's not done yet. But sometimes we'll see people look down on others. Look down on those that are struggling. Look down on the poor and the needy. Look down on those that don't have in life the things that they may have. And I believe with all my heart, had it not been for God, many of us would be in such worse conditions than what we are today. We should never look down on anybody. And even the vilest of sinners, instead of us looking down piously, we ought to look down with compassion. And you hear me say this often, I look at them and I say, I know what God could do with their life if only they would trust in him. We should never forget that we once was lost. And some say, I've made quite a life for myself. I say that had it not been for God, you would be no different than those that are without, on the outside looking in. But thanks be to God, the grace of the Lord come by our way. And every one of us today, I believe that we have the same testimony. For by grace are we saved. And God brought a great complement of benefits with Him when He saved our dying souls. We're not perfect, but we're forgiven. We'll never be perfect as long as we're in this life, but one day we shall be perfect. The Bible is full of people that God took from nothing and made something out of them. Lives that were so torn up. Disasters that was there. And God just laid it on my heart like this to bring this message tonight, that He brought some of us from disaster to greatness. From total disaster. There are folks in the Bible that had storied past. In fact, they were embarrassed, no doubt, about their past. And oftentimes, I think it's good for all of us to remember where God brought us from. And that we would be no different than the vilest of sinners had it not been for the grace of God that came by our way and made us what we are today. In Deuteronomy, he's saying, don't forget it was God that brought you through the wilderness and brought you out from underneath bondage. It wasn't because you was the greatest of people. It wasn't because that you found the greatest favor with God. But it's because God had mercy upon your fathers and remembered the covenant that He made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Do you realize today some of us are where we're at because God's covenant that He made with our forefathers is still coming to fruition even today? His promises are not shortened by time, but they're just extended by time. And as time goes on, His promises are still, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That if they would just believe as a little child, God could take them and make something great out of them today. Some folks might say, there's nothing great about your life. Have you seen my future? I've got a home in glory land. And while I'm here, I'm saved by the grace of God. And never, never had need of anything that God did not supply. Sometimes we need to go back and remember where God brought us from. Clarence and I was talking before church, and he was telling me that when he was young, back home, that when it snowed, they would have to get the horse and the wagon and go to the store through 2 feet of snow. And I said, that must have been a cold journey. Right? Then it come to my remembrance that when Becky and I was first married, we had an old Ford Galaxy 500, six-cylinder under the hood, three-speed on the floor, two-door hardtop. That car looked good, but it didn't have an ounce of heat. And we drove it in the wintertime to work and to church without any heat. And what we had was blankets, quilts that we took with us to cover up. You see, sometimes, folks, we need to go back and say, Lord, the vehicle I drove tonight had heat. And say, thank you, Lord, that you brought me from that to where I am today. How many of you know God has been good to you and that He has brought you a far peace in life? And it's good for us to go back and reflect on all the things that God has done for us. Sometimes I say it in messages that be careful. People look at other people's lives and say, I wish I had their life. You don't know what they went through to get to where they are today. And I'll say, if nobody else will confess tonight, I will. I don't know that I would be anywhere where I'm at today had it not been my dependency upon Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. He saved me and He took me from disaster and made greatness out of us today. And the greatness is, I am called a born-again child of God. He's my Father and I'm His Son. And when death is done, I'll step out of this world into a brand new city that John saw coming down from the Isle of Patmos. You think we got something now. Wait till you see what we've got waiting on us in just a few more days. There are many folks that would say that God took their life from disaster to greatness when they reflected back on it. And God gave us a book full of things to in people's lives and told about the mistakes. How would you like for God to publish every mistake you made in your life? And yet we have a book of people that He told us about their mistakes and told us about the things that went on in their life and those things that Satan meant for evil that God turned out to good. Joseph would stand up and say, yes, I'm one of them. My brother sold me in slavery, but God took that and took me to Potiphar's house and exalted me finally to be second in charge. Not just one time, but He did it twice to me. Because you remember the first time I was there, his wife tried to say that I tried to rape her. But I said unto her, I will not do this because of who my God is, first of all, and who your husband is. You see, today he had an improper perspective. He owed it all to God, first of all. And Moses would tell you, he took me from disaster. I took things in my own hand, and I slew the Egyptian, and I was banished out into the wilderness for 40 years. But one day in the midst of the day, I saw a fire that caught my eye, a bush that was on fire, but yet it was not consumed. Hallelujah. I saw it, and even though, you see, you got to understand how low Moses went. He was next in line to be king. But because of what he did, it drove him down to being a shepherd, the lowest of all jobs that there was. But God did not forget about where he was at. You see, the world, Clarence, may forget where we're at. But God knows exactly where your folks and my folks are at tonight. He knows exactly what they're going through. And I am waiting for the greatness to come by their way to when God calls them out like he did Moses. He said, it's time to go to work. It's time I have heard the cries of my people and you're going to be the one to go down and deliver them. And here comes, you know, once you're beaten down, you have the Moses attitude. But Lord, I can't speak. God said, I'll give you a spokesman. And I can't recite them all, but if you go back and you start studying that, you'll find out five times Moses come up with five different reasons why he couldn't. And finally, the Lord said, you tell them, I am that I am has sent you. Hallelujah. You see, he took a man that was beaten down and he exalted him to be king or the leader to deliver them from the Pharaoh and the kingdom and take them all the way to the promised land. You say, but he didn't get to go in. No, but he did get to see it. Can I preach today in this service tonight? Even if I didn't get to go into glory land, if I could just see it, it'd be worth every mile I've traveled down here. I would not change anything in my life because life has been so good that I've got to walk beside the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I've had His Holy Spirit to lead us in our life. And I would say, yes, He is able to take us from disaster and make greatness out of us. The Bible talks about Ruth, how that she was married to Naomi's son. And you remember Naomi's husband died and Ruth's husband died. And disaster was just around. Naomi said, why don't you go back to your own people? And we still use this verse in weddings today. She said, oh no. She'd heard about Naomi's people. And she said, your God shall be my God, and your people shall be my people. And she went back with Naomi and got back there in that land. You see, it was preordained by God. How many of you know God works in the future? Oh, that'll preach, won't it? We look at the past and say, you could have done this and done that, but God's working in the future. And You know, God made a way for them. They got over there and Boaz. Oh, the kinsman redeemer. Long story short, came back. Does she have any in her family that can marry her? And it came back, no, there's none. But they looked at the lineage. You know who was in line? Boaz. While she was gleaning in the field. You're talking about being low. You see, the only people that went gleaning in the fields was the poor. Oh, somebody help me preach. She was out there gathering up the scraps, if you'll have it, of what was left, because under the Levitical law, they was not allowed to, they had to leave a certain part of the crop for the poor and the wayfarer. Here she was out there, but she caught Boaz's eye. And he inquired about her. Next thing you know, long story short, she ends up as queen. And you know who comes out of Boaz? Here comes Jesse. And here comes David. Oh, thank God. Here comes our Lord and Savior. Out of a woman that was just a disaster. Has anybody else been at a point in your life where you felt like your life was just come down to nothing? Ask the widow in Zarephath. I said, I might get us out of here by halftime. It's okay if I preach, ain't it? The widow at Zarephath, when the prophet came to her, said, get me a cake. She said, oh, no. There's just enough meal for me and my son. I'm going to cook it, and then we're going to eat it, and we're going to die. You talking about being low. But he said, why don't you make me one first? And she did. And you know what happened? From disaster, here come greatness. The cruise never went down. And the meal never decreased. People say, you put a lot of trust and faith in your God. I say, there is no God like my God today. Amen. The story could go on and on and on. How about Rahab, a harlot? A disaster. A disaster. But when the spies came there to Jericho, they said, if you'll just put out a scarlet thread. It wasn't a rope. It was a thread. When we come, get all your family in your house. There's a message there in the church. And when our Lord delivers your people unto us, you and those that's in that house will be saved. Just a little thread outside. How in the world could God make all of the walls fall and this one little house left standing? I can't figure it out, can you? But he's God. That little scarlet thread was just a thread of hope. It was a thread of trust. It was their last hope that they had, that they would be able to be taken. I wrote some of these down as God gave them to me. It's dangerous to be behind me or beside me or in front of me when God is dealing with my heart. And I'm driving. Because I scribbled. Can y'all see that? That's what God gave me. He takes us today from disaster to greatness. Ask Mary Magdalene. And can I go back to Rahab? Rahab was a harlot. But you know what we find in the genealogy? Here comes that harlot. People say, I would never mention her. Ask Hosea about Gomer. Ask him about his wife. Because you see, he was married to her. And she went out and was a harlot. But he went out and he brought her back home. People say, I would never do that. Don't say you won't do anything. Because when God deals with your heart, your pride will get lost. Amen. Becky said 48 years. For 49 years. I hear it and I still can't get it right. For 49 years, God has blessed us. We started out We got married, borrowed clothes, and we got our first apartment, and a friend of hers, Lane, from high school. Their family was having a yard sale, and we got the phone call, or she was talking to him or something. I don't even know how it came about. And we went over there to their yard sale, and we filled our first apartment on $10 at a yard sale. We got a mattress and box springs, a table and chairs, a beanbag chair. And did I miss anything? A pressure cooker. And we filled our apartment. It didn't matter what we didn't have. What we had was more important than what we didn't have. Amen. Mary Magdalene was a woman of ill report. But when the world turned aside, did Jesus turn Jesus aside? Who was it that came there? With her, washed his feet and took her hair and dried it. People say, such a woman shouldn't even got close to the Lord. It's not what she was that's important. It's what she is. How many of us today can remember where God brought us from? How many of you was in the hog pen, down in sin so deep? You see, he took us from embarrassment to jubilation. I believe part of the reason why our hearts were so broken under conviction is because we was embarrassed that we was away from God. But when we stepped out and believed upon him and called upon him as our Lord and Savior, there was jubilee that came. And can I preach tonight? I've never gotten over what the Lord did for me. But sometimes it's good for us to go back and remember where he brought us from. From the hills of West Virginia. From the hills of Kentucky and Tennessee. And people could talk about all those places where God brought us from. I'm not talking. Yes, those are important. Those are things that we brought with us. And Tara, you are not a Buckeye. I had to correct that. But it's not important where we came from. What's important is where we're going to when this life shall come to an end. God doesn't look at our past. He looks at our present state, and he looks at our future state. You see, we've gone from a disappointment to joy. Disappointment. We've gone from failure to success. Next time somebody tells you you're a failure, just look at them and tell them, I was until the blood was applied. We've gone from a difficult life to an abundant life. People will laugh at me and make fun of me, and that's all right. You see, I'd never forget where I came from. In the natural realm and in the spiritual realm. I shared with some of you months ago, maybe a year or so. One day I figured out why I'm a hoarder. How many of you are hoarders tonight? Come on and confess in the house of the Lord. You know, I figured out why I'm a hoarder. It's because when you grow up with nothing, you see value in everything. That ought to be in Rogerisms. When you see a thing that is broke, that you don't have, that you might be able to fix and make it good. That's why we hold on to everything. And I hear a song from years gone by. I'm so glad he didn't throw the clay away. Because I was broken. I was a disappointment. I was an embarrassment. But God took me and put me back on the spinning wheel. And he fashioned the clay into something that could be a trophy of grace. He took us from being belittled to exalted. He took us from being a sinner to a saint. I'm not perfect, but he calls us a saint, does he not? He's taken us from earth to glory. And one of the things that really blessed my heart, he's taken us that was cast down and are now lifted up. You see, I'm not what I should be, but I'm not what I used to be. Nor am I what I'm going to be in just a little while. God told us, because he knew that we would get high and mighty. He knew that we would get self-dependent, and that, you know, our granddaughter, Kennedy, that girl is so stubborn. Even at her age, you try to help her and she'll push you aside. And if you help her down the steps, she'll go back up them so she can come down by herself. Yeah, she's stubborn. It has to come from Becky's side. It has to. But then Becky said the other day when I said that to her, I don't say anything up here that I ain't already said, okay? Becky said, yeah, and who's the one so stubborn that I don't need no help taking that engine out of that car. I don't need any help tearing that wall down. And I might have a little bit of stubbornness. But my stubbornness is because if I do it myself, I know what I did, Jack. Instead of having somebody else jump in and me trying to figure out how does it go back together. Right? But you see, oftentimes we forget how good God has been to us. When they came into Canaan land, there was shouting, there was rejoicing. But all along the journey, there was murmuring, complaining, talking against Moses, talking against God. And at one time, God was going to destroy them because his anger was waxed hot against them, is what the scripture says. And Moses pleaded, Lord, don't kill them out here, because they'll say he just took them out in the wilderness and he killed them. Moses pleaded on behalf. How many times has somebody had to plead on my behalf or your behalf for God not to destroy us? But even in the New Testament here, in Ephesians, he tells us that we ought to remember, if I can put it in today's wording, remember we've not always been saved. In fact, the one scripture, when he talks about all the sins that shall not inherit the kingdom of God, and he says, and such were some of you. How many of you got a past? But Jesus wiped the slate clean. Amen. He's taken us from a disaster and made great things out of our life. He says that we were once just like they are. That's why my heart goes out to them that are lost. Because one day we sat right where they're sitting at. One day we was without hope of a better tomorrow. But thank God there was people that loved us enough, and a church that cared for us enough, and a Savior who died for us that sent the Holy Ghost through the midst of the church. And you know what he was looking for? Not perfect people. He was looking for broken people. People that had made a disaster out of their life. And we all, even if you wasn't a bad sinner, can I use that in our wording tonight? You wasn't one that had committed some of these great sins, as the world would have to say. Do you know, we categorize sins. God says sin is sin in the eyes of the Lord. There's no great sin and no little sin. It's all sin. And God said, every one of you are broken. Every one of you, I picked you up. And I made you what you are today. See, sometimes we need to go back and remember. I've heard some folks say, I've had this said to me directly, I am a self-made man. I worked myself from nothing to where I am today. And I say, but it's God who gave you your breath. It's God who woke you up in the morning. It's God who gave you the intellect, the wisdom to be able to do. This week, one day when I was driving, God gave me was ministering to me in the car. I guess he ministers to me in the car because he knows I'm there for at least an hour some days. And as I looked over the audience, it's like God just gave me the wording to say to all of us. Some people say, I can't do much. And then the Lord laid up on my heart, some of you men worked in factories where you put cars together. And I say, it must be God that blessed you with that. And I'm thankful it was God that did, because I wouldn't want to drive them had God not given you the knowledge to do it. Amen. I thought about Jack, who works on these cars, and people trust him. They take their car and they give him the keys and say, fix it. You see, God took a boy that wanted, his whole aspiration at one time was to be on the back of a Rumpke truck. And there's nothing wrong with that. And God has exalted him high and made him, gave him a vocation to where he is able to make a good living. And I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Some of you that work, Glenn, I saw you that works on equipment that makes sure that the condiments are in the packaging just right. And I say, thank you, Lord, because I wouldn't want to open up a bag or a packet of ketchup and there'd be mustard in there. Amen? Got a chiropractor. Jeff, I thought about him with this intellect to be able to do that computer programming, and he writes the code and everything clicks and works just like it's supposed to. Right? And some of us that are just workers, and you say, don't say it like that, and I don't mean it like that. We realize that we'll never be at a certain level. But thank God we're able to do what we do. And remember back to when we was making, when Becky and I first got married. I was doing odd jobs, going from one job to another. And then I finally landed in a manufacturing place. And I told you about our first apartment. I guess I'll never forget, $160 a month. How many of you like to have an apartment today, $160 a month? Water and electric included. Yeah. But if you're only making $7 an hour, it's a lot of money. Look how the times have changed. How many of you tonight remember where God has brought you from? Times when we had hard times. We've all had hard times. But I say, God has taken us, blessed us along our journey. Anybody else want to praise him tonight for taking your road and giving you all things that you have today? And most of all, to know that you're saved beyond a shadow of a doubt. And on your way to heaven when this life shall come to an end. And when it comes time for my funeral, I don't have any great accolades to be mentioned. Except one. In 1972, I met a man that took my disastrous life and changed it and made me a fit subject for the kingdom of God. And for that, I've tried to thank him a lot. I've tried to praise him. And I find out the more I thank him and the more I praise him, the more he gives. And the more he gives, and I end up in a deficit all the time. I can never get it completely told how I feel for praise to him for all that he's done for me along this journey. But Sharon, one day, I'm going to bow at the foot of the throne, and I will praise him for all eternity. David mentioned this morning where he said in Scripture that God shall wipe away all tears from our eyes. I believe with all my heart those are tears of sorrow and tears of worry, tears of fear. But I say, Lord, let me, when we get there, if I cry a million tears, He'll wipe them all away. Wouldn't it be something if we could have some of the emotions and feelings when we get there like we had on this side? But when we get there, the past shall be forgotten about. Amen. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. No more worries about the things that we worried about on this journey, but we'll bow there and we'll praise Him for all eternity, not because we are in heaven, but because He is King of kings and Lord of lords, and we'll praise Him because we didn't have to die and go to hell for all eternity. He took us that was destined to go there, and He changed our lives completely around. And I don't want us to ever forget where He brought us from. Where He brought us from. Nor should we forget who we belong to and where we're going. Because I've got a home in glory land that outshines the sun. See, today, I don't care how broken our people are, God can fix them. Now I'm closing. Some of you get worried about the time. I don't care how deep in sin they have trod. God's got a hand that can reach way down below the bottom. In fact, let me tell you how far God's hand can reach. Don't know if I've ever said this. God can reach all the way down to hell and destruction. And grab hold of their hand and pull them out and set their feet upon a solid foundation and establish their goings. Yeah? The world says they're useless. God says, let me show you what I can do with them. Sometimes even the church, if we're not careful, will snarl our nose up and say, they're not like us. But we wasn't like the church either till Jesus came. Some folks, and I don't know why I'm preaching all this, some folks worry about what they can and can't do. God's not asking you for a list of your capabilities. He's saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I can take you in your brokenness and make something great out of you. Not that your name will ever be in lights or in the newspaper or broadcast it. When I leave here, I'll never have a street named after me or a building named after me. But when I leave here, my family, my church, my children, my grandchildren know where I'm going. There's no doubt about it. I know my Redeemer liveth, and I know I live in Him, and He in me. And one day, I'm going to dance all over Heaven's Avenue, if there is such a place. You say, do you really believe that? I believe with all my heart that we'll praise Him. It's not known yet what all we will do. Was it not John who said he couldn't? And I know Daniel, you remember, Daniel had the dreams with God. Paul had it. And John the Revelator. Common theme is write no more. Put it down. That's enough. We've got just enough to make us want to go. And no more. People try to tell you on the radio and TV what heaven's going to be like. Don't pay no attention. Because the Bible says it's not entered into the hearts of man. Eyes have not seen, nor ears heard the things that God has prepared for His children. Amen. How many of you tonight remember that God took you from a disaster and made great things out of your life? Anybody tonight? Anybody tonight that we was a failure and God made something out of us? You see, when you grow up poor, people are quick to tell you, you ain't nothing. You'll never be nothing. If only they could see us now. And you say, are you talking carnally? No. I don't have anything that I'm going to take to heaven with me. Yeah. Not even this body. The only thing that's going with me is what God put down here. That's the only thing that's going. The only thing that's going, because it's the only thing that's worth having. And when you get there, look for me, for I will be there. Do you think you'll know me? The Bible says we shall know as be known as we're known while we're here. But don't look for Roger. Because you see, when I got saved, I had a brand new name written upon a white stone. You say, what's your new name? I don't know. But I'll know it when he calls it. Amen. God has done great things for us. And don't you forget it. That's the summary of the whole message. Don't you forget the good things God has done for you. You say, but I have so much trouble. Think how much you would have if you didn't have God. Amen. You see, there was a time when people would go to church and praise the Lord and worship, sing and shout just because they were saved. I'm preaching the truth. Just because they were saved. Today you got to give them something more. Let me tell you, there is nothing that is greater than just being saved. It's the highest title you can get. There's no greater privilege than knowing that your sins have been washed in the blood of the Lamb and made white as snow. Tonight, love, we get a song of invitation. I don't know your heart. That's between you and God. But you see, if we're not careful, sometimes we'll get sidetracked. And think, look what I did. Look what I've done. And I have to say, I have never had those thoughts. Sometimes Satan will come to you. Has Satan ever come to you and given you a thought like that? Man, you sung that song so wonderfully. The preachers, he'll say, man, you just preached the house down. Be careful who compliments you. Right? People come down. I used to have a guy that I know, that we know. And he'd come up afterwards and say, what a message. And then he'd try to put his hands in my pockets to see if I had any money in my pocket. He said, I know you preachers get all kinds of money. But I had a surprise for him. I've never told this that I know of. None of my suits have I ever cut the pockets open. They're all still sewn shut. So if you're going to give me something, you're going to put it in my hand. Because you might put a scorpion in there. He ain't never found nothing in my pockets. You got to be careful about people. One guy, he's going on to be with the Lord. You'd say, I want to know who your undertaker is because he sure dresses you up good. And, you know, people have ways of joking. I know that. But let me tell you, when it comes right down to it, I'll never forget, and I'll close. Becky and I just announced my call to preach. And we were at Sears, back when Sears was Sears. And on the discount rack, there was a four-piece suit. It was four-piece. And some of you say, four pieces? It had two, it was blue and brown. It had blue pants, brown pants. And it had a blue jacket. And the vest was reversible. And I thought I was something. Because that was the first new suit ever I had. I thought I was it because of that suit. And I wore it until I couldn't wear it no more. You see, when God gives you something, it was on the discount rack. How many of you believe sometimes God will put stuff that you need right in front of you? Oh, thank the Lord tonight. I said I was going to close. But you see, I realize where God has brought me from. And to this day, I still will not buy a suit if it's not on the discount rack. What everybody else pushes aside, I say, that's just for me. And if I had my way, I would take hand-me-downs because I like for them to be broke in before I start wearing them. Amen? Because that's the way I was raised. How many of you was raised on hand-me-downs? They was the best. I like it when my uncles outgrew them because that meant I was next in line. So I tried to make sure they took good care of them because I didn't want them tearing them up. But you see, I come to Jesus and he's never given me anything that was a hand-me-down. It's always been perfect and right on time. Would you stand while we sing a verse of a song? Don't forget what God has brought you from. Don't forget where he brought you from tonight. How about it? Anybody at all that'd like to come? Maybe you've been lifted up a little too high. And God has trimmed your wings up some. And you just need to come back and thank him for all that he has done. Yeah, sing it, church. Yes. Peace we often forfeit. Yes. Oh, what needless pain. Yes. All because we do not carry it to the Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Tonight in closing, if God don't give it to you, you don't need it. Amen. If God don't give it to you, if God gives it to you, you'll be happy with it. You'll stay with it. And you'll cherish it. God has given me many things over my life. As I tried to say in the message, I can never thank him enough for how good he has been to me. Never be able to thank him enough. Because he took a nobody and made a somebody out of him. And when I preach like this, I think people are thinking I'm talking about carnal. No, I'm talking about in the spiritual realm. In my walk and talk with Jesus. Do you know Jesus is more important than your car, your job, your house? He's more important than your bank account or your 401k or anything in the future. In fact, don't get too accustomed to the things that you have because they're only yours for a short space of time. And if they haven't started by now, they will fall apart. I see these folks that get these big fancy cars and they're so proud of them. Their car is rusting just like mine. Hey, man. Get these big fancy houses. Their house is decaying just like mine. Hey, man. There's nothing we have that's not falling apart. If you don't believe me, look in the mirror. I said, I tell it the way it is. I'm blunt. Y'all love me for it. You must. You've had me here for all these years. And I learned it from Clarence. Yeah. He's always been blunt. But I love him just with all my heart today because he didn't sugarcoat anything. And you know what? That made us move up. Step up. And today we need to step up as God's people. I told you I'd have you out by halftime. I don't think it's near halftime. But that game, let me tell you something. That game isn't going to change your life or mine one bit. It's not going to change it. regardless who wins or who loses. David's little boy asked me this morning, who do you think's going to win? And y'all not going to like this. But David's little boy asked me, he said, who do you think's going to win? And I said, not the Bengals. And he said, his mother spoke up and she said, he's been saying that all week. And I said, well, if two of us believe it, it has to be true. The rest of you pick up rocks as we walk out and you'll start throwing them. God bless you. It don't matter to me who wins.
Rachel called, said on the way back from Anderson, she's seen 5 cars off the road.
Oh.
She said, there's not a lot of snow, but a lot of places she went because of light traffic, it'd just be a track.
Yeah.
And there's a police car, another little accident. And she said, it's not real good out there. And our porch, it's a small layer, but our porch is covered out here.
All right.
Be careful.